Another test for Abram. Christian life is a life of tests, of being purified, of being tried. Abram had to leave his own people in order to follow God. He'd come into the land and he'd faced a famine. He'd found a place to escape the famine in Egypt, but then he'd have another test, whether he'd trust God for protection. When he came back into the land, he had a test that came from his wealth and from his nephew Lot. When Lot was taken by the king of Sodom, he had a test of his courage. Would he trust God to be able to bring him back? Sorry, not taken by the king of Sodom, taken from Sodom by the other kings. But then there was a test with the king of Sodom when he came back. Would he allow the king of Sodom to make him rich? Tests keep coming to him. Every time he wins a success, every time he begins to see God's blessing, then a test comes to him to see whether he will now still follow the way of God. And there's another one here. Now, it's been around 10 years since God promised him a great family. He was 75 then, and we read at the end of this chapter that he's 86. It's been about 10 years, and yet there's no son. God had promised, and yet things seem even more difficult now. Sarai had always been barren, but now there's another 10 years on her life. And now they began to think that they needed to help God somehow, that they needed to do something to bring God's plan forward, that they shouldn't just wait for God, but that they should find a quicker way to bring about his promise. As we're told that Sarah had this idea first, verse 1 and 2, that she had an Egyptian maid. Maybe they got it when they were in Egypt. Maybe they already had her when they came from Babylon, we don't know. But Sarah had this idea, and she said, verse 2, "The Lord has kept me from having children." So she uses God's name, and she's suggesting that this is going to be God's plan. And very often people use God's name when they speak something, but they're not speaking God's plan, they're not speaking God's words. We Christians have to learn to be wise. Just because someone says some good words or uses the name of the Saviour doesn't mean that they're about to speak God's truth to us. Even Christian people use God's name and yet they're making a mistake. What was her plan? She said, "Well, God has kept me from having children, so take my maidservant. I can build a family through her." She's saying perhaps this is going to be God's way. Here's what we need to do to help God. Take Hagar, sleep with her, and the child will count as mine because she's my maidservant. Now, many people point to Old Testament and things that were done there, and they use it as a reason for doing the same mistakes today. They say, look, here's someone who had many wives, or here's what they did in their family, so why can't I do the same? And yet, we see clearly in this chapter that it wasn't God's plan for Abraham to do this. The scripture shows us the wrong things that God's people did as well as the right things. And we need to learn to have the wisdom to know which is which. Solomon had many wives, yes he did, but they turned his heart away from following God. Abraham here took another woman alongside Sarai, but it wasn't God's plan for him. But Abraham, he agreed. We don't read that he asked God. We don't read that he waited to find out what God thought about it. But he went ahead and did it. Like Adam in the garden, his wife said, "Here's some fruit, it's good, why don't we eat it?" Adam didn't say, "Now what has God said? What did our Maker say about this?" But he went ahead and followed his wife. A man sins twice when he does this. He not only sins by the sin itself, but he sins by giving up his leadership, his responsibility. It was Abraham's place to tell his wife that she was going wrong and to lead her back into the right way. He was the head of the household. He should have shown her a better way. But instead he agreed. Abraham doesn't look good in this chapter. Whenever Sarai comes to him and says something, he says, okay. We never see him taking the lead. We never see him taking responsibility. We just find him saying, okay, you do that. Okay, you do what you like. That's not a man's place to just say okay and let it all go. But it's a man's place to look into the word of God and see that his family is led in the right way. Luke 14, verse 26, Jesus said, if you follow me, then you must be ready to hate even your own father and mother, son, daughter, wife, husband. God's word must come before even closest family, even closest clan. When the clan meeting says, let's go this way, and if it's not God's way, then we have to say no. Sometimes tests come from those who are nearest. Abraham had many tests, but now one came from his own wife. He'd done a lot better in the previous tests than the one that came from his wife. There's a lesson there. We need to watch, even our nearest, even our closest. Sometimes those who are nearest, we find it harder to say no. I think his other mistake, their mistake, was they were not patient. They weren't ready to wait for God's way and his answer. He defeated other enemies. He defeated kings. But he didn't defeat impatience. Sadly, that happens with many who name the name of Christ. They follow him for a time, but when they find it's hard, they become impatient. And they look for another way instead. So let's be careful. Let's be patient. Let's keep close to God's word. Now, the plan turned out badly. Verse 3 seems to be telling us that this was a wrong path they now went into. They'd been there 10 years of faith and patience, but now they did something else. Abraham took Hagar. He slept with her. Verse 4. She conceived. It seems they didn't ask Hagar very much what she thought about this. But when she became pregnant, when she saw that she had a child within her, she began to despise her mistress. She began to look down on her. Ah, my mistress, she's always been the queen of the house. Sarah, my mistress, she's always been the queen of the house, but now I'm the one who's going to give my master a son. I'm the one who's bringing the blessing into this house. I've done more in just this time with Abraham than she's done in all the years that they've been married. She began to think of herself as equal or even above her mistress. And Sarah sees it and is displeased. Sorry, I've forgotten where I was now. She saw... What was I saying? She began to look down upon her mistress once she saw that she was with child, and Sarah saw it. Doi doi. I find all the noises really hard to deal with. Sarah saw that Hagar was looking down on her and she was unhappy. And Sarah said to Abraham, this is your fault. You've done this. You're responsible. I gave my servant to you. See, she speaks of it as some sacrifice. I gave my servant to you. And now she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. You know, why didn't you prevent this happening, Abraham? Why didn't you do something to stop this? May the Lord judge between you and me. And she even uses God's name. She says, may God look upon this and may God judge. Very surprising words, really. Sarai doesn't say, I came up with this plan and it's caused me trouble. But no, she points at her husband and she uses the name of God to defend herself. Oh, this seems to be unusual for Sarah, because we read about her in the New Testament. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, and Peter praises her for her respect and the honour which she gave to her husband. And it seems wasn't her normal way of behaving. But even, sadly, God's servants, even when they're faithful a whole lifetime, yet you'll find times when they're weak and they make mistakes and they are falling. All of God's servants are sinners who need a saviour. We shouldn't expect any of them to be perfect, because sadly none of them are. But here's Sarah, she's not blaming herself, she's blaming Abraham. Abraham now, does he take the lead? Does he say, well, yes, actually I did agree to this plan, I shouldn't have done. But does he take responsibility and say, but now we must treat her well? We've asked her to come into the family. She was just a maidservant, but we've asked her to become like a wife. But no, verse 6, he just says, your servant is in your hands. Do with her whatever you think best. He just says, well, you just deal with that. I'll just agree with whatever you do. He'd been the same weak man that he was before. Though Sarah treats Hagar badly, and then Hagar flees. So now everybody's unhappy. Sarah had a plan to get a son, but now she's chased away, the one who's pregnant. Abraham followed this plan, but it's now his own child has been chased away together with Hagar. And Hagar has lost her place, lost her work. She's pregnant, she's got no one to care for her. Everybody's unhappy. That's what happens if we're not faithful. If we try to make our own way instead of God's way, it doesn't turn out well. We might make the plan very carefully, but it'll make us miserable. So, verses 7 out to 14 are about Hagar. Hagar's mistress had chased her away. Hagar's master hadn't cared, even though she had his son. But there's someone who had not forgotten her, and that was the Lord. She was an Egyptian. She wasn't in God's chosen people. But God cared for her, and God sent his angel. Found her near a spring in the desert. Verse 7. Now some people think that this is a picture of a person being converted. You found the world to be empty and hard, and you're in a desert, a dry place. But there's a spring, there's living water in the desert, and the word of the Lord comes to you there. Well, the angel says to Hagar, Hagar, servant of Sarai. He says, servant of Sarai. Won't allow that Hagar should have left her place. Even if you're in trouble, you shouldn't leave your place. Shouldn't run away from your duties, even if they're very hard. Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from? Where are you going? So the angel's very gentle. Doesn't condemn her, doesn't shout at her, but asks Hagar, what are you doing? Allows Hagar herself to think about her way. Hagar replies the same way, very humble, very gracious, says, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah. Says, my mistress, you're right. She really is my mistress. I really am doing something I shouldn't be doing. The angel of the Lord, again, doesn't speak harsh words, but just says, go back to your mistress. Submit to her. And then gives her a wonderful promise, verse 10. I will so increase your descendants, they will be too many, too numerous to count. Verses 11 and 12, two verses of prophecy. A child, a son. He'll be called Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard of your misery. So it's a hard command. Go back to the one who's treated you badly. But it comes with a great promise that God hears you when you cry out to him. God, when he saves us, doesn't take us away from problems, but he gives us promises. He says, I'll be with you, I'll hear you, I'll look after you. And a prophecy about the future, verse 12. He'll be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility towards all his brothers. Verse 12 says there's another way of understanding the end bit. He'll live towards to the east of. Another translation has he'll live in the presence of his brothers. So makes it less hard word. But her son is going to have an important place in what God will be doing over the coming years. Hagar realizes she's met with God, that God does see her, God cares for her, God protects her. In verse 13, she says, you are the God who sees me. God had been watching her, and now she also has seen him. Now, with this knowledge of God, she's ready to go back. With the knowledge of God, we can be ready to go into hard situations. Now we realize he's watching us. He never left us. He never forgot us. We might have thought he did, but he was watching us all the time. And he had big promises for us. So we should go back to what we should be doing. Verses 15 and 16, a son is born. Ishmael. Ishmael, which means God hears. Now it's now quite a surprising time. Sarah was the chosen one, but she had no child after more than 10 years. Hagar was not the chosen one, but she had a son. God's ways are to be judged by God's word. God is acting according to his word. We mustn't look at what we see and then make up our mind. The wicked often are prospering and doing well, and the godly are often struggling and suffering. But we mustn't judge with our eyes. We must judge according to God's word. Now Ishmael, the Bible tells us, now his life had a meaning. He represented human effort, men making their own plans. Men's efforts, men's works, but he was not to be the chosen one. The Saviour wasn't to be one of his children. He wasn't to be the chosen nation. That was to be Isaac. When Isaac was born, it was to be him. It's in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 verse 21 says, do you hear what the law says? Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, the other by the free woman. His son, by the slave woman, was born in the ordinary way. But the son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively. He says the women represent two covenants. One from Sinai, the law, and its children are slaves. That's Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Sinai, Mount Sinai, and the city today of Jerusalem. She's in slavery with her children. So Paul was saying, Hagar is a picture of human effort, human planning, men trying to find their own way, just like all the Jews who lived in his day. They're trying to obey the law, to keep God's commandments, so that they could be righteous in their own way. So they could achieve God's purposes through their own efforts. But that's not how salvation comes. Jerusalem from above is a free woman. She is our mother. Verse 28, you brothers, like Isaac, are the children of promise. Salvation is God's gift. It comes through God's promise, God's word, and us believing. The way of faith, not the way of our own works. We shouldn't judge by our own eyes and feelings, but by God's word. We shouldn't try to work our way into heaven, but we should trust Jesus. We shouldn't try to help God by stepping out of the path, but we should faithfully follow him, whatever happens.